Open your Bibles to the book of John. 1 John, as a matter of fact. Normally, when I teach for Sam, I'm in Hebrews, but this was a little later notice, and Hebrews is a heavy book, and I don't want to misrepresent the word. So we're going to be going with 1 John chapter 1, which is what we will be doing in the junior high for the next... Well, it takes me a while to get through stuff, so maybe the next year. But it's a short book, so it might only be a year. But 1 John. Oh, I did have a couple announcements while you're looking that up. One is the high school group is doing, and maybe Bud said all this and I wasn't paying attention. I don't know. But the high school is doing a car wash this weekend, so when you come to church this weekend, you can drop your car off with them, go to church, come back. It'll be nice and clean. At least most of it, and you can donate to the high school group. It's all on donation, and if you can't afford it, just get your car washed and let them bless you. And there's also the high school camp, junior high camp, coming up for those that want to do that and happen to be in junior high or high school. Well, 1 John. John, as a way of introduction into a new book, we'll look at the character, the guy that's writing it. We'll look at a little bit of the book as a whole, and then, of course, we'll jump into chapter 1. Well, John was a fisherman, and being a fisherman, he would have been kind of a crusty guy. He would have been a tough guy. He would have been one of those guys that, you know, well, he would have smelled and like fish, and he just was a hard worker. He would have been just a down-to-earth kind of guy. And he was also known by Jesus as, well, one of the sons of thunder, you know? I love how Jesus renamed people and he gave people names accordingly. And he named this guy and his brother, well, sons of thunder. And they were. He was a fiery guy. He was a passionate guy. And a slightly misled guy. He was, well, at one point asking Jesus if he could call fire down from heaven on a group of Samaritans that wouldn't let them pass through. And John and his brother were like, Jesus, just give us the word and we'll call fire from heaven on them. Well, not exactly what Jesus was looking for in his followers. And Jesus rebuked him accordingly. But the thing is that was his personality when he started out. He was a little thick, a little crusty, a little earthy. Maybe some of you are sitting here thinking, that describes, I was going to say husband, but I wouldn't go that far. No, maybe it describes somebody you know. And you're like, is there hope for them? Absolutely, because John, before he died, became known as the apostle of love. From, let's call fire down, from a son of thunder to the apostle of love. It's a pretty dramatic change in character. And so there is hope for your loved ones. There is hope for those that you know that maybe are believers, but you just look at them and you're like, man, they're kind of like a teddy bear with teeth. And the thing is there is hope. God chips away at us. God works on our lives and convicts and guides and we end up changing. I can look from where I started and where I am now and I'm not the same guy. And I hope to be ever changing, ever growing closer to my Lord and Savior. Well, John, he was also known as the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's a pretty cool title as well. How sweet to be the one Jesus loves. And of course we know Jesus does love the world. He died for the world. But to be singled out like that, that's a beautiful thing. John was an interesting guy. He wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. But he also wrote the book of Revelation. Now, he was in some ways honored above the other apostles, the other 12, because he was the last to die. And he was... Well, he found himself on the island of Patmos because of his beliefs in Jesus, because of his commitment to Jesus. They exiled him out there thinking, that'll stop him. Well, he was walking in the Spirit. He's out, you know, exiled, in slavery. and he's walking with the Lord. He's having fellowship with the Lord. And, of course, Jesus reveals to him the amazing book, which is Revelation, which, if you read, you won't understand a lot of it, and that's okay, because I don't either. But we will, when we get to heaven, we'll look back and we'll go, wow. Because a lot of it's prophecy. A lot of it's about stuff that hasn't happened yet. And, you know, honestly, some of it's hard. But there's stuff in there that's amazing as we see the heart of Jesus. And that was revealed as John was pulled into heaven and revealed so many amazing things. Well, John, he writes this book. And in this book, 1 John, it's really about love. It's all about the love of God and the love that we're to have for each other. And we see a couple neat things about God in 1 John. We see that God is light, and we'll look at that today, but God is light. What an awesome picture, because we can only use words to try to describe an infinite God. And He is light. Well, so we need to walk in the light if we are to have fellowship with Him. And if we're walking in the light, if we're walking close to Him in righteousness, we'll be quick to repent, quick to keep our relationship close to God. We also see in 1 John that God is love. And I love that because God is light. God is love. It's not a part of Him. It's not what He does to people that He likes or that like Him back. No, God is love. And so many people will go, well, how could a loving God do such and such? Well, they misunderstand the plan and the purpose of God. And often we don't understand the things that happen, but we have to know that God's perfect plan was that we never sin. That was the perfect plan. And then when Adam and Eve, when we have sinned, since we have sinned, He prepared a plan of salvation for us and has helped us navigate a sinful world so that we can arrive back with Him in a state of perfection when this life is over. God is love. Will we fully understand everything that happens? No. But when we get to heaven, I know He's going to make it clear and we're going to go, wow, God, You brought me through that life because You are love. Love is a choice. God chooses to love us just as we need to choose to love Him. We need to choose to love the world around us, the people around us. Well, 1 John is a fantastic book. The author, John, is a powerful man of God. Who left us a neat record. And for those of you that aren't in junior high and will not be continuing through this study with us, I'd encourage you to read it, to study it, to listen to Pastor Sam on the internet. That's getting back up and going. So if some of you have been trying to listen to messages and you've been getting roadblocks, or, well, not we as in me, but there are smarter people than I, putting that back together. So you can listen to Pastor Sam's, I think it was in like 07 when he taught through 1 John last, and you can hear his teachings on it. Well, before we get into our text, let's pray one more time. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much that You've given us this opportunity. And Lord, we do ask that You lift up Pastor Sam as he is not able to be here, that You would heal his back, that You would bring him back quickly and refreshed. Lord, for tonight, I ask that You would anoint this passage, that it would be You and Your words heard and not me. Speak to each of our hearts, guiding and directing, convicting and guiding, that we would be men and women who love as You love, live as You live. We thank You, Jesus, and we pray this in Your name. Amen. Well, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. John, he uses simple words, but he has like these profound pictures. And I love the way that he writes, a simple fisherman, but he's giving us these just beautiful pictures of who Jesus is and what he's done and his character. And I love that. And he starts off his letter here with the first few verses declaring his relationship with Jesus. Because, I mean, a lot of the times, why would we believe this guy? You know, why would we trust what this person has to say? And those are valid questions. I don't just take anybody's word. Oh, I'm a pastor. Believe me. No, and you shouldn't just believe me. You should challenge everything with the word of God. You shouldn't just believe Sam or anybody, even though we strive very hard to keep it on the word of God. It should be you checking it out, verifying, making sure. Because there are those out there that are trying to deceive, that are trying to mislead, or have no real right to teach the word of God. And right off the bat, it's pretty cool. And there in verse 1, he tells us that he's an eyewitness. I love that. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. He was an eyewitness. He says, I've seen Jesus. I've heard Jesus teach. And I've handled him. We were close. I know who Jesus is. John was with Jesus from the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. So he got to experience, you know, all of the teachings. I mean, could you imagine? Could you imagine sitting for years at the feet of Jesus? I mean, just all day, hearing him teach, hearing his explanation on everything, you know? I mean, it'd be fun to hear Jesus tell me how to wash the dishes. I mean, seriously, it'd just be so cool. He got to hear the teachings of Jesus. He says, I was there. Now, we question sometimes how much they paid attention. When you read the Gospels, you look at these guys and they're bragging about who's going to be the best. John was in the middle of that, you know, going up to Jesus. Can I sit on your right? Or, you know, him and his brother, we want to sit on your right and left hand. And they were missing some of what he had to say. But I do know the Lord gives recall when we need it. It's cool how we'll remember stuff that we've read, that we've been taught, and God says, all right, now I want you to remember this, to share with this person, or at this moment. Well, I know that happened to these guys, and I'm sure Jesus repeated himself a lot, so that they would remember. I know I need things repeated a lot. Apparently, we only remember like 7% of what we're told, so you're going to only remember about 7% of what I have to say. It's so encouraging as a teacher. Jesus was with John, and he says, I was with Jesus. I heard him. I saw him. I saw all the miracles. I mean, from a fisherman who believed enough to follow, and then he started seeing Jesus do stuff, and these guys were blown away. I mean, when Jesus calmed the seas, they were just like, what? How? You? I mean, they didn't quite know how to respond. Because I mean, they were like, he has the power to control the wind, the storm, the waves. And they watched him heal the sick and the broken bodies and the broken spirits. And they saw people get up from their bed and run away, you know, run around. Maybe not away, but you know, the blind, he got to see Jesus heal the blind. Regularly, he got to experience miracles. And so he starts off and he goes, I was there. I heard. This isn't second, third, fourth hand information. He goes, this is first hand information. So when we read this, we're getting first hand information. He says, I've heard, I've seen, I've touched. He's real. Jesus is real. He was more than just a man. No, it's so cool. One other thing that John got to experience is Jesus gave the disciples the ability. He sent them out two by two to heal. So not only did he see and experience, you know, by witnessing Jesus, he got to experience the power of God through his life. That's kind of cool. And in Mark chapter 6, we read, and he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. A little further in the verse, so it says, so they went out and preached that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil who were sick and healed them. I like that Jesus had them practically go out and do some of the same things he was doing. Because it's not just about seeing and observing God. It's about us participating with him. It's about us living this life with him. And that didn't just stop with those guys. It's so much more than just coming to church. It's so much more than just, you know, viewing what Jesus did in the past or maybe what he's done in other people's life. But he wants each one of us to experience with him the power of God. There's so much he has for us. Bible tells us that sometimes we receive not because we ask not. I don't want to get to heaven and have Jesus go, dude, I had all this stuff for you and you didn't ask. I don't want that. I mean, not that he's necessarily going to point that out when I get there, but what a bummer. You know, we get to heaven, we're like, I could have, what? And he's like, I know. It was right here. You know, I don't want that. What a drag, you know, to get to heaven and realize we just didn't ask. I say we start praying, you know. I say we start asking God for things. He may say, hey, that's not right for you. But he may go, aha, you asked. I've been waiting for you to ask. Let's do this. I mean, we look at guys and men and women in history that have done amazing things for God, and we go, well, that's incredible. That one person reformed this whole country or this. They just were obedient to do what God had for them. And they were willing to say, God, I'll do it. They're willing to ask. They were willing to obey. I'd love to see Chico just turned upside down. And I believe it can happen. From the schools to the workplace to the home. I guess home should start first. Home, schools, and workplace. As we transform this city, well, as Jesus transforms this city through us, as we go out into the world like these guys did, and we represent him, not in our strength, not in our power, but in the power of Jesus Christ. That's a cool thing. He shows up, he says, hey, I've seen it. I like that he references Jesus. He says that he is the word of life. That's cool. He is the word of life. John also said in the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He uses that to give us this cool picture that Jesus is the very words of God. We know that he's the express image of God. Man, but he's the words. That's pretty exciting to know that he is the word of life, that the words of God lead to life. He's not the word of judgment, the word of condemnation, the word of destruction, the word of fear. No, he's the word of life. That's our Savior. The word of life. He's the very word of God. And he brings life, not just eternal life, but we have to recognize that he wants to give us life abundant now. Now, that doesn't mean everything is going to be easy, but it means we have Jesus with us in the midst of whatever this world throws at us. Because this world's kind of nasty sometimes. And we need Jesus to navigate. I don't know how people do it without Jesus. I mean, I guess that's why so many people turn to drugs and alcohol and so many other destructive behaviors. I just don't know how you do it without him and survive. Well, it's kind of cool because we each have a testimony about Jesus Christ. John here, he's like, I was there, I saw it, I heard it, I felt it, I experienced it. We have a testimony. And we can share that with the world around us. If we're walking with Jesus, we should be experiencing Jesus. And then from our experience of Jesus, we can share with our family, with our friends, with our neighbors, with those we work with, those that we go to school with. Well, nobody can take our testimony from us. That's ours. And John here, he says, hey, to validate what I'm writing, he says, I was there. Verse 2, the life was manifested or made known, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. I like this verse because it declares that Jesus is eternal. It declares that he was more than just a man. John recognizes he wasn't just a regular guy. But Jesus is eternal. He has no beginning. He has no end. And Jesus declares in Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. That's a big verse. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. That's the first and last letter of the Greek alphabet. The beginning and the end. But what's so cool about this picture, he's not just the beginning and the end. He's everything in between. He's complete. He's full. And so Jesus, when he comes into our life, he completes us. And he satisfies us. Man, that's cool. He is eternal. Jesus, the Son of God, one part of the Trinity, which makes him God. And how all that works is difficult to fully understand. But the fact is he became a man. He became one of us to reveal to us his love. And to offer us salvation so that we could be close to him again. If you really want to know who God is, learn who Jesus is. If you really want to know the character and everything about God, well, get into the life of Jesus. Read about who he is, what he did, what he said. And you will see the heart of God. You will see God. John knew who Jesus was, and so can we. And that's so cool as we read these letters. We call them books, but we read these letters, and it's not just about, wow, that guy, he really knew. No, we can also really know Jesus, and we can really experience Jesus in this life. And we do that through worship. Through reading the Bible, through prayer, through walking each day with him. I'd so encourage you guys to take advantage of all the opportunities that we have. We have so much in this country, in this society, that just at our fingertips. I mean, how many church services do we have a week that we can go to? I'm not saying you have to go to all of them, but make sure you're plugging in. We have so much. I mean, there's so many things that we can read, that we can use to grow, that we can be a part of, that we can serve, that we can, I mean, it's really an open book to us here. What do we want to do for the Lord? And we can go. Not everybody has that option. Maybe tonight you need to pray, God, what do you want me to do for you? I know I'm saved, and I'm just kind of, but I haven't fully experienced you, and I want to, and I want to go wherever it is that you have me go. Maybe God's going to blow your mind. I hope He does. Send out missionaries. Raise up teachers and leaders and Sunday school, VBS people. I mean, we need people in this community. Maybe you're like, I got to witness to that guy at work, that gal at work. I got to share with that friend who's broken. Whatever it is, go for it. Follow Him. Obey Him. Get to know Him. Well, verse 3, in which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship. The word fellowship is koinonia, and it means to have all things in common. This is kind of a cool verse because it says here that we can have fellowship with God, the Father. We can have fellowship with Jesus Christ. And that's why John shared. Is because he had fellowship with the Father. He had fellowship with the Son. And because of that koinonia, that fellowship, that, you know, oneness that they experienced, he, overflowing with that, shared it to the world around him. I don't know about you, but I don't have all things in common with Jesus. I want to. It's a growth process as each day we learn and we pray and we read and we grow and we focus and we get our minds just blown by the very things of God. And we repent and we turn from sin and we become more like Him. And we see that in John's life, from Son of Thunder to the Apostle of Love. He went through that process as he became closer and closer. But I love that it's clear that we can have fellowship, all things in common with the Father, all things in common with the Son. I actually wrote in my notes, sweet, because that's how I felt the moment I was like, yeah, that's good stuff. We want that, and we can have that. And it really is up to us. That's one thing I love about this walk with God. It's up to me how close I am with Him. It's not up to my family, my wife. It's not up to Pastor Sam. It's not up to anybody. It's up to me. And that's why it's so important that if you're unhappy with the relationship you have with God, that you change it today. That you don't just allow it to continue in on whatever it is. But you make the change. You repent of what you need to. You obey in the areas you need to. You whatever it might be. But you can leave here today closer to Jesus, following Him, in fellowship with Him. Well, if we have fellowship with the Father, if we have fellowship with the Son, if we're drawing closer to Him, and we're getting excited about God and our Savior and what He's done and what He's going to do, what keeps us from sharing with the world around us? John was just excited about it, so he shared. What keeps us from sharing? What keeps us from, I mean, because what kind of things are we talking about anyway? I mean, we all, for the most part, talk Well, I talk a lot, but when I first met my wife, this is totally random. It was kind of the opposite, you know, where the girls normally do most of the talking. I'd talk for like an hour, and she'd go, mm-hmm, you know, and it worked because I'm a talker and she's not, and it's still kind of that way, you know. But we talk. We talk at work. We talk in our families, and we talk about the day, and we talk about the weather, and we talk about the news, and we stand around the water cooler. Did you see the game? I mean, I don't know what, you know, when we talk. Why don't we talk about Jesus? We get excited about things. Did you see? I'm not a sports guy. Did you see the Kings? They shot more baskets than the other group, you know, team. Clearly I'm a basketball guy. And, you know, we go back and we get all excited. Well, when we come back from church, are we excited? People are watching, and when they see us come back from church, are we like, what's wrong with you? Man, did you know? God is love. I mean, we have the opportunity to share. And I admit, I get scared. I get nervous. But purpose to pray before you leave the house, before you enter a conversation. God, if you want me to talk, open the door. Because He will. And it's so cool when you see Him start to organize the conversation and you just see the door like open wide and angels singing and you're just like, God's awesome. You know, and it's like all you had to say, you know, but He prepared it all and you just go, that's all I got to say. Wow. You know? I mean, it's so cool to be used by God. And most of the time, we're not doing much. Well, what are we talking about? Hopefully it's Jesus. We get all excited about what's going on TV and what's happening with, you know, our kids and all this other stuff. And you know, I'm not saying that's all bad, but we should be sharing because we have Jesus. And that is so cool. We have fellowship with the Father. We have fellowship with the Son. We see guys throughout Scripture, just as a last thing on fellowship and closeness, having all things in common. We see guys in the Bible like, you know, Noah. I mean, well, yeah, God talked to him and God spoke to him and God used him. He had fellowship with God. We see Abraham, who spoke to God and was used by God. He had fellowship with God. Enoch, we don't know much about that guy except that he walked with God and was not. I mean, that's awesome, you know? It'd be cool to just be doing what we do, and God goes, you're so awesome, get up here, you know? I mean, that's basically what happened to Enoch. He was like, come on, you know? But he had fellowship. Well, Moses, that guy had a close relationship with God. We see the Apostle Paul, John, the writer of this book. There's so many as we read the Scriptures that had that. And we can look throughout history and we can see men that have just walked with God and been used by God. But so can we. So can we walk with God, be used by God, hear God, have fellowship with God. Well, he ends this first section here in verse 4. And these things we write to you that our joy may be full. That's cool. He's like, I write all this stuff that I'm writing down is so that you will have joy. And not just a little joy, but overwhelming, full, complete joy. I like that. I like joy, you know? The thing is, you know, we have God. And joy is different than happiness. Happiness is about our situation. I'm happy because I got a promotion. I'm happy because I got a parking space close to the grocery store. I'm happy because my kids got mostly good grades. I'm happy because I mean, happiness can come and go depending on the situation, but joy doesn't matter what's going on. My kids failed all their classes. Woo! Now, I'm not saying you should be happy about that, but you can have joy because Jesus doesn't change. I got fired. Man! Well, you know what? If it's not because, I mean, if they fire you because you're a Christian, you can have joy. You can have joy. We can take joy. And I don't mean to make light of things, you know, because some things are very serious and difficult to find joy in, except for the fact that we have Jesus Christ. Lots of things in this world are hard. And lots of things in this life we look at and we just simply go, well, this is better than that, you know? I mean, most people, you know, go, well, you know, steak is better than a hamburger and you know, the taco wagon's better than everything. And, you know, I mean, there's things that we just look at in this life and we go, well, this is better than this. These, you know, pants are better than these pants and certain hairstyles have been better than other hairstyles. And we can look at it and we can judge and go, well, this is better. This job is better than this job. We can look at things and we can do that. And if we look at Jesus, there is nothing better than Jesus. Because he gives joy. He gives joy, regardless of what this world has. And as we focus on him, we can find joy. Your job may be a struggle. Your marriage, the relationship with your children, the relationship with your parents, where you live, your neighbors, family. There's lots of things that can cause heartache and struggles and sometimes things that we just flat out cannot change. But we can have joy because Jesus isn't going anywhere. And the world's looking on and they see us and they see us going through these things and they go, why do you have joy? Not that we have to be happy about every single thing that happens, because happiness comes and goes, but joy. Well, joy is about Jesus Christ. Joy isn't dependent on my situation. Well, nothing is better than Jesus. We read in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. We need to rejoice in Jesus Christ. Just for the simple fact that he's Jesus. I don't need any other reason. It doesn't matter how my day went. It doesn't matter what the future holds. I have Jesus Christ. He died for my sins. He rose from the grave. I have everlasting life because I've repented. That's a good day. That's a good day. And I know there's hard things going on in a lot of your family. Some I know about and some I'm just sure that are there. But we can have joy. We can have joy in Jesus Christ. Well, that verse goes on, and it's got some other cool stuff. In verse 5 there of Philippians, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. We rejoice in the Lord, and we reveal to the world our gentleness because Jesus is coming back. And we're going to rightly represent him regardless of what this world has to offer. But he goes on, he says, be anxious for nothing. Well, He's admitting, he knows there's going to be things that are going to make us anxious. He says, but hey, take that situation, take those things. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He doesn't say, just be anxious for nothing. Have a nice day. No! He says, be anxious for nothing. Now, he gives us the map to not be anxious. He says, pray, worship. Give it to God. Hand it over to him and say, God, this is freaking me out. I need you to take it. We hand it to him. We entrust him with the answer. And then we need to obey. If he says, well, change this, do this, then we should get right on that. If it's something we can't change, we just hand it to him and we say, Lord, I'm going to hold on. I'm going to trust you. But the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, when we hand it to him, and we really hand it to him, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, is handed to us. It'll guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Now, How he does it, I don't know, but it's cool. And there's been things in my life that should have just completely freaked me out. But I was holding on to him. And you get through it and you go, wow, God, that was awesome. And there's other things that I've held on to. And I've been anxious about. Well, that's not so much fun, you know? But if we turn to him, if we release it into his care, he'll give us his peace. He's got joy for us. He wants our joy to be full. And he gives us the ability and the know-how to receive that. And that's by first believing in him. And that's by laying the cares of this world down at his feet and trusting him. I don't know about you, but I want my joy to be full. I don't want to just know God. I want to experience him in this life and in the life to come. But I want to know him. I want to be full of joy. So I can share. I can share my Savior with the world around me. I'd encourage you guys to read your Bibles. I'd encourage you to read so that you will know him better, that you can experience him, that you can see those areas that he can help you, that he can guide you. That you'll find so much joy in just reading his word. It's so encouraging. And it opens the opportunity for him to speak to you. But don't read just because it's your Christian duty. Don't read just because it's something you need to do. Read because you really want to experience and hear from God. To be filled by God and strengthened by God to do the things that God has asked you to do. Well, verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness. Jesus made it clear that the Father is light and in him is no darkness. Light, of course, representing holiness, sinlessness. Darkness representing sin. But in him is no darkness. Because God is light. And that's one of those cool practical things that we get. If we were to turn these lights off, it gets so dark in these movie theaters. It's so cool when we do it, you know, with the junior hires, because it is just pitch black. You can't even see your hand in front of you. And then we play runaround games. And then we used to do strobe light games in the dark, and that was so much fun. And you see them running, tika, 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 and then the light goes off, and then tika, 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 as they've crashed and come back. I don't do strobe light games anymore. But because it gets dark, and you can't see. And the thing is with light, we get that beautiful picture. That light rushes away the darkness. God rushes and pushes away the sin. That we need to walk in the light as he is in the light. We need, because God is light, we should want to be there where he is. I prefer to be in the light, especially at night, you know, especially when I'm driving. We had both of our headlights go out once in our truck years and years ago, you know, and that was a little bit of a scary experience until I realized the high beam still worked, and then I just blinded everybody the way home. But the thing is it can be scary when you find yourself in the dark without light. I was riding with a guy once as a teenager, and it was at night, and he turned his lights off while we were driving and was rounding this corner. I was terrified. And I screamed at him to turn them back on, and he was like, "Whoa, you know, like, you're not cool," kind of a thing. And I'm like, "I don't care. I don't want to die. We need light so we can see, so we can make the turn." So we get that on practical levels. God is light. I love that. Because light reveals our path. Light gives clarity to what we're doing. Light provides safety. God is light. He reveals to us what we need to know. God provides clarity. God provides safety. It should be a great comfort, I should say, that our God is light and that there is no sin in Him, because that means He's absolutely perfect and that means He's absolutely trustworthy. People will let us down, but God won't. Does it mean we understand everything that God does? No. But we can trust. God is light. We see the first reference of light in the Bible is when God created light in Genesis, in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. You know, He said, let there be, and there was. He created light. He created light for us and all the physical, practical applications of it. But it's part of who He is. And I love in the book of Revelation that we realize that in this life to come, in the new heaven, in the new earth, Jesus will actually be the light. There'll be no sun, there'll be no moon, there'll be no stars, because Jesus is the light. I was kind of geeking out on this earlier, because the thing is I don't think there's going to be shadows. Now, this is just my opinion. I don't think there's going to be shadows in heaven, because the perfect light source is going to be giving light to everything. Why would there be a shadow? It doesn't matter where we're going to be. I don't think there's going to be any shadows. That's just my own thing. I get to heaven, I'm going to look for shadows. But, you know, I don't think they're going to be there, but I got to make sure, you know? That really doesn't apply to anything, but it was just on my brain. And, you know, but the thing is He's the light. That's cool. John 8:12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. If we follow Jesus, we're not in darkness, but we have light, and that light leads to life. That's cool. Well, verse 6, because we need to hurry on a little bit. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. It's not enough to say that we're with God, or you know, we need to actually have fellowship with Him. You know, it says if we say we have fellowship and we walk in darkness, we lie. It's not enough just to say we have fellowship with God. We need to have fellowship with God. Well, we need to be in His light. We need to practice righteousness and veer from sin. I don't want to be called a liar by God. Let's not say we're Christians. Let's be Christians. Let's be in Christ, walking in the truth, walking with Jesus. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. But walking in the light, if we walk in the light and we're not, you know, we don't want to be liars, but if we're really walking in the light, walking in righteousness, in a right relationship with God, well, that creates fellowship. Fellowship? That creates fellowship with the Father, with the Son, and with each other around us. If we're genuinely walking with our Savior, with our God, and His blood will continually cleanse us as we walk with Him, because we will be, well, when we're in the light and our sin is exposed, we'll ask for forgiveness. We'll ask Him to cleanse us. And it's a continual thing. As we love God, as we love people, we'll serve God and we'll serve people. And that'll create, well, it won't create perfect relationships around us, because some people are just not going to like us because we're Christians, and there's not much we can do about that. But if we serve people, it breaks down a lot of walls when we just serve them and we love them. And it's not about me, but it's about them. And showing them Jesus Christ, that tears down walls. That kind word that turns away wrath. If we're not a part of the problem and we're loving and we're serving, people are gonna take notice as we walk in the light. People are gonna see that we're really His as we walk with Him. Well, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. It is possible to deceive ourselves. It is possible to think that we're somebody that we're not. But it's important that we're truly honest with ourselves tonight. It's important that we look at our hearts, that we look at our lives, and we recognize who we are. And the plain and simple truth is that we're sinners. We're sinners. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's what God tells us. That there is none righteous, no, not one. We need to have an honest perception of who we are and where we stand. We are sinners. But the cool thing is we have a Savior. The cool thing is we have Jesus Christ. Not a license to sin, not a license to do whatever we want, but forgiveness for when we do sin. And this next verse, well, it was one of the first verses I ever memorized. And it is written to believers, but you can't get much clearer about what we can do with our sin. When we recognize that we're a sinner, when we recognize that we need a Savior, well, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess, which just simply means to agree with God that what we've done is wrong, that what we've done is sin. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just. He's faithful and right to forgive us. And He can only do that because Jesus died for us and rose from the grave. That's pretty cool. And we need to remember this is written to believers, that even as believers, we need to be constantly making sure we're right with the Lord. If we've sinned, we need to ask for forgiveness. If we've offended, we need to make that right. If we need to apologize, we need to do that as well. We need to be quick to handle ourselves and to confess and to repent and keep ourselves right with God and right with people around us. It is a good way to heal relationships. If you have broken fellowship with somebody, maybe there's things you need to apologize for. Deal with that. Or maybe it's something you need to forgive. That's hard. It's hard to forgive when we've been wronged. But how much wrong have we done and God forgives us? And that's why we forgive. Because we've been forgiven. I think daily, I think hourly, I think minutely, we need to be checking our hearts, making sure we're right with God. And it's an easy thing. If we're walking along and a weird thought comes into our head, we just say, God, forgive me. If we say something inappropriate or offensive, we just go to that person and we say, hey, I'm sorry. And you're going to watch people be shocked at your apology. People are surprised when we apologize. Well, if you confess, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To cleanse us. That we're clean. And if we're clean, we're close. I want to be close to my Savior. We finish with this last verse. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. God says we are sinners. So if we go ahead and just say that we're not sinners, we're calling God a liar. It doesn't actually make Him a liar. But the truth is that we're calling God a liar. And, it's pretty clear that if we're calling God a liar, if we're not believing what He has to say, then His word is not in us. But we need to believe. We need to follow. John starts this passage out and says, I'm an eyewitness. I've experienced. I know this to be true. If you're here today and that is you and you're like, I've experienced Jesus Christ. I know this to be true. He is my Savior and my God. I'd encourage you tonight just to pray and rejoice in your salvation. To find joy in Him. So that when you leave here, there's joy. Don't leave here and just go back into whatever it is that you came from. I mean, we come from all kinds of things. We come from arguments. We come from disagreements and struggles and strife and tension. But we can find joy in Jesus and go back into that with a new perspective. Because it's our Jesus. It's our joy. It's our salvation. But if you're here tonight, whether you come to church all the time, whether you're new to church, whether you go to a different church, it's not about me. It's not about this building. It's about Jesus Christ. If tonight you're going, whoa, I'm a sinner. I'm not perfect. I've made some big mistakes in my life. And you're willing to confess that to God because tonight you know He'll forgive you. He's not condemning you. He's not holding it over your head. He's saying, come to me and I'll forgive you. And if tonight you want to say, Jesus, forgive me for my sins, and for the first time say, come into my life. I want to live with you and follow you and serve you and love you. I want to give you that opportunity. And of course, if you're a believer here and you need to ask for forgiveness, you can go to your Savior and you can do that. Let's pray, you guys. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for men that have gone before, and John, an eyewitness to all that you did and all that you said. And he lived his life for you, completely surrendered to you. Lord, let that be each one of us here. Lord, for every believer in this room, I would just ask that you would fill us, that you would just overpower us with your love and your joy. That we would go back into the worlds that we came from, into the lives, and that we would have an impact because of the joy in our lives. That we would go back into the situations that we've left to come here, and that we would step back in with new perspective. With your joy and your love just overflowing. Because we have you, Jesus. And Lord, if any believer here needs to repent, I would just ask that you would speak to their hearts and reveal to them, show them, guide them, direct them, convict them. So that they could leave here right with you. And now with everybody's eyes closed and nobody looking around, if you're here tonight and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, but you want to say, God, forgive me for my sins, come into my heart, be my Savior. And you know that He died for you, that He rose from the grave, and He can give you everlasting life, and you want to receive that tonight, I'm just going to ask that you raise your hand. And hold it high. If you want to say, Jesus, forgive me. Come into my life. Be my Savior. Is there anybody tonight? It's a big room with weird lighting, so make sure you hold it high. Jesus, I thank you for the opportunity to share your word. I ask that you would just burn in our hearts tonight with a passion and excitement. Lord, as we worship you one more time, overwhelm us, consume us. We love you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Let's stand, you guys, for the last song.